All right, you're back in the DFSR here with our MLB podcast for Tuesday, May 16th. I'm Doug Norrie. That is
James
Davis. He didn't give his full name. Give your full name, buddy. We're from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, DFSR.com for short. We're going to be talking a pretty full slate of Tuesday baseball here today. You can grab a free 3-day trial to our projection system powered by Lineup Lab, DFSR.com/MLB. That'll give you optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. Free for 3 days, $29.95 a month after that. Cover the rest of baseball season, and then we wrap, there's still NBA to go too, and we wrap all of our subscription packages under the same blanket, so that'll include NBA while it's going on, NFL when it starts again. Everything we offer is there, so dfsr.com/MLB will get you started. All right, Tuesday in the Major League Baseball Association, And Tuesday in the MLB, we have some interesting, it's funny, we talked like real briefly off air about this and then decided to just start recording because whatever, we can probably just don't want to save all the good nuggets for off the air. But today strikes me as a day of lots of big name-ish pitchers going, all who I'm not that pretty lukewarm about. I don't know if you agree with that assessment, like as a from bird's eye view of the names here, but you know, guys like Darvish, Strasburg, Lackey, Keuchel, and then Rich Hill. We're gonna get into each one of these guys. If you had to start your cash game prep, let's say, right now, which one of those guys do you think you start with and why? I mean, our system is kind of clear on one, but I have hesitation and question marks about it.
You got some doubts? Yeah, that's normal. It's normal to have doubts at this stage in the day, Doug. We're going to get into it. I think actually it's less so that I'm lukewarm on all of the pitchers today, because like that's just going to happen. It's more so that they're all so close. That's what gives me the feeling of uncertainty, because like, for instance, if Yu Darvish was the only guy off that list and then like the next most appealing option were Lance Lynn, I would not feel upset, right? Because there would be one clear guy, and I know that I would get the better of it by just rolling Darvish and then moving on with my life. But the big issue today, yeah, for me, is just that things are so tight. So the guy I'm actually going to start us out with is a little... Well, let's just talk about the monkey in the room here, the gorilla in the room. What's that saying? It's like some
elephant.
Kind of primate. Primate in the room. Yeah, that. What is it? What's the one about the monkey? Jesus Christ. All right. I don't know. The 800-pound gorilla? That's
the
thing?
There you go. I'm usually the one that messes up. I'm usually the one that messes up like
the sayings.
Yeah.
Yeah, good point. Okay, I'm a little shook by that, but let's start by talking about Darvish, because I think he's one that you and I kind of had a little bit of disagreement about. I am fairly high on Darvish. You know, still good this season. 3.65 xFIP. Sub-3 ERA. Still kind of doing Darvish-y sort of things. Obviously running a little hot, low BABIP, high left on base percentage, but still strikes me as a solid, good, you know, good top-tier pitcher. What are you concerned about when it comes to Darvish right now?
Well, one is the price. Like, you're getting, you're paying, you know, on FanDuel you're paying 10.6, so close to 11,000. On DraftKings you're paying over 11,000 for a guy this season who's barely striking out a batter an inning. The walks are up. So the walks are up. Last year he was 2.78 per nine, 3.66 this year. That's a pretty noticeable increase, I would say, over his, not over his career numbers, but at least season over season. Like, last season was encouraging for him because he had kind of reduced the walks. Like, that had always sort of been an issue for him. It's sort of back to being, I would call it an issue for this price tier. So remember, I'm saying this all relative to price, right? Like, if he was 9,000, this wouldn't be really a discussion. But when you're paying...
So it's 51 innings. So what am I so worried about after 51 innings?
51 innings is not, is getting toward the point for me of if there's something happening and it isn't like really being solved. So there's a couple numbers that are like, that jump out to me. Run, his outside of the zone swing percentage, like batters just swinging at balls that leave the zone for him, is down this year, which is trouble for him for a guy that uses like a lot of movement on pitches. Inside of the zone swing percentage, it's also down. They're making more contact in the zone on him, and they're making also just more contact out of the zone. So like, it's kind of just
and
like
chasing
all going.
Less too. Yeah.
Well, they're chasing less but making more contact, right?
So yeah, like, it's not a great pairing there.
No. So it's like, so this is all to say, these numbers for him, if you're going to pay this kind of, you're going to pay this kind of salary for him, like this 11,000 ish range salary, you need to be pretty sure you're going to be pretty sure that you can, one, maintain into later innings. That's a problem for him right now with his profile, because he's just walking too many guys. And you kind of need to have some significant K upside. Also sort of a little problem for him, because he's just not striking out as many batters. So those are my concerns. I don't think he's a bum by any means. Like, he's a good pitcher. He's a very good pitcher. He's just not, his numbers right now are not elite. And this price tier is getting close to where you sort of need to be elite for it to not totally kill you. That's mostly my concern.
No, I think you spelled it out pretty well. I guess maybe where we disagree a little bit is just on what you need to do on this price point in order to be elite. And I think, you know, maybe we have a slightly different perspective on that. Because I think Darvish, you know, in spite of all of his flaws, still, when I look at some of the other names that we're considering today, I still feel like he brings a level of safety that maybe not all of them do. But why don't we get into some other ones too?
One more thing about Darvish I want to say is that right now in our system, we are still projecting him for more Ks than he's been putting up this season, right? So like we still have him in that 10.5-ish, maybe a little bit higher K per nine range. He's in 100% of lineups right now. So like right now, if things went off right now, and I honestly, unless without us just completely shifting our projection on him, he's going to stay there because he's the most expensive pitcher in all of the lineups, right? So like that just doesn't, that's not a thing that changes over the course of a day. So if it locked right now, he would be our cash game pitcher. He's a great money line favorite, -200. So Vegas still has belief, I believe, in like what
Philly's a good matchup. Just I think what our projection system is seeing also is that Philly this year is striking out at the seventh highest rate against right-handed pitchers. So they're, you know, and Philly, you know, you sometimes think about teams coming into Texas and getting a big ballpark boost. Philly has a good home park too, also. So I don't think that's going to be quite the same boost for them as it would be.
I guess my point is, if that we were to adjust it, I'm not going to do this. If we were to adjust his projection down to what he's been doing this season, like nine, even like to 9.5 Ks per nine, it wouldn't be as clear, right? It's because we're still projecting him on some more historical stuff that is sort of, we're just hoping that it kind of ticks back into that range. But if we were to lower it down to like to season numbers, he would, or even like even push it down just to get a little closer, I don't think it'd be that clear-cut decision. Anyway, after him, where else can we look here? If you wanted to get away from Darvish, and I think you definitely can, where else can we look?
Well, I'm going to have to give you, and now I'm going to do the old, give you one more stat on Darvish before we move on.
Oh, this is a good pod. So, yeah, people love this.
But I think it is, actually, because I think this is actually quite a large decision, because what our projection system is putting forth is that Darvish is the best, like, kind of clear-cut guy, because as to your point, you know, when you have one of the more expensive pitchers and he's already in lineups, that seldom changes because as the day moves on, we're likely to get more value out of our batters as opposed to less. My dog agrees. He's chiming in the background. Yeah, Reggie's a sucker for big-time value there. So with Darvish, first two starts of the season were very bad. Six innings against Cleveland, 4 Ks, 5 walks, 6 innings against Oakland, 5 Ks, 3 walks. Since then, he's actually cut out a lot of the problems that you've perceived. It's 42 Ks and let's see here, 42 Ks and 13 walks in about 37 innings. So that paints much more the picture of the Darvish of the past as opposed to those first two starts, which I think you can forgive him for having a little rust in April. So that's my last point on Darvish.
No, that's a good point.
I wouldn't mind at all if he winds up in the final lineups. And I think it also speaks to the issue of using, you're right that 51 innings is not a huge sample size, but when 12 innings worth of pitching your first two starts of the season can move the numbers that dramatically, I think, you know, it's just worth pointing out, I guess. So yes, after Darvish, whew, deep breath. I think the next guy people are going to look at is going to be Steve Strasburg. You know, he's also a pretty heavy money line favorite against the Pirates today. Another guy whose numbers have moved around a little bit. What's your take on why we're seeing such a shift in Strasburg's numbers this year?
Well, we've talked about this before. He's gone out of the stretch this year. I believe he's lost a little velocity because of it. I'm going to look at that real quick. I take that back. The velocity is still there. He's pitching in a different way this year. He's throwing the curveball more than he threw last year, and he's actually like just almost totally abandoned the slider. And I'm not sure. I'm not going to read this entire Pitch FX thing right now to know if like how effective that pitch was for him. But that's there's been a pretty clear just overall shift in his approach, and this is something we basically mention every single time that he's come up. And that's really funny. I wrote an article about guys whose K percentage numbers had dipped year over year, like from this year to last year. And actually, Darvish and I only wrote about three guys, and Darvish and Strasburg were two of them. And they both struck me as this just might be like kind of the new guy, and not like might not be seeing a great return to. Like Strasburg's kind of the same way. He was 11 Ks per nine last year. He's down to 8.68. I mean, that's dramatic. And now we're up to 46 innings of it. He's had some sort of weird matchup issues, I think, over the course of the season. But it's really just like doesn't seem to be coming back for him. I mean, there's been a shift. The numbers are down. And I'm just a little wary that we're still kind of projecting off old Steven Strasburg. And that's just not the case anymore.
Yeah, Strasburg is a funny one too, because I went to his game log when we were kind of drawing up the notes for today's pod, kind of with the same mindset that I did with Darvish, and that I was like, man, because I was basically, I had stuck in my mind that first start against Miami when he went out there and had just the 3 Ks in 7 innings. And then I looked and I was like, oh, well, then there was the one start against the Mets, 2 Ks in 7 innings. And then basically all the other starts were great. Except then I went and looked at the 2016 starts. And so that's three starts this season, including the Philly one recently, where he had a sub 8 K per 9. Last season, he had 4 total starts at a sub 9 K per 9, and he's already got 3 so far this season. I tend to believe that the shift in Strasburg feels a little bit more real than the shift in Darvish to me, even though it's kind of stretched out over the same number of innings, just because there isn't quite the same beginning of season clustering effect that we saw with Darvish. Strasburg is a little bit younger, so that, you know, it should mean that he's a little bit closer to his prime than Darvish is. But hey, Strasburg's also a guy that just kind of has difficulty staying on the mound. So there's always the possibility of lingering injury stuff with him too. I'm a little bit less bullish on Strasburg's return to greatness than I am Darvish's right now.
Yeah, no, the big issues for him have been also sort of along the same lines as Darvish, is just more contact, right? I mean, it makes sense. If you're striking out less guys, then there's only one other way for those balls to go, and it's just either walking people or they're hitting the ball. So it's not like this is like any big, this isn't any great like math problem here going on. But his in the zone contact, he's not blowing it by hitters anymore. This number strikes me as like 87% in the zone contact. That's really high. And they're also making more contact out of the zone as well. So it's just, I don't know, man. Those numbers are really, so both these guys were still projecting sort of still in that old Strasburg, old Darvish range of kind of hoping and maybe wishing that they're going to come back.
I don't know if it's wishing. I feel like that's a little.
Well, that's a wrong word. That's a wrong word. Like hoping that they come back to the historical levels.
But it's not
levels.
Hoping; it's projecting that they'll come back, right? Because there's no emotion.
Like, I'm just using the wrong. I'm using the wrong word. Yes, we're projecting. We're projecting that a greater body of work that they put up in the past, without any sort of crazy like injury stuff / crazy just dips in velocity, which are not the case for Strasburg, without any of those really concerning markers, we are going to continue to project them as what
sure.
they've done in the past.
Well, the only reason I jump in, because you're right, it is kind of like nitpicky to point out that difference, but I do think that it makes a difference, because one of the biggest questions we get regarding our projection on anyone is, Doug, why do you like so-and-so so much? And when you talk about like us hoping, it just sounds like
it is
just like, I like Darvish, man. I think he's going to come back. It's like, no, that's not what's going on. It's,
yeah, no, we don't make projections based on what we like or dislike. It's like, exactly, it's all pretty much about, no, you're right. You're right to correct me on the thing. I guess I'm saying that, yeah, we hope that the projections are going to move, the projections are going to move back in the way of what the guy's done for, I don't know, throughout his entire history in baseball.
Yeah, exactly. I think what we hope is that the way things have worked out in the past, which is that the larger body of work tends to overwhelm the smaller body of work, and that guys age along sort of a predictable trajectory, because there's always going to be outliers, right? And kind of our job as projectors in this industry is to mostly pick out, is to kind of be ahead of the curve when it comes to the outliers. Because a lot of people use the same sort of foundational stats to move forward, right? Because baseball, you know, throughout the 2000s and even more so this decade, people have gotten much better at establishing season-long baseline projections in baseball. I think we can both agree on that. Mm-hmm. But people are still trying to unlock this daily fantasy sort of wheel. It's not been around for nearly as long. And so, yeah, for us, it's always that tipping point of trusting last year, or when does this year become the new normal, you know?
And we do adjust things over the course of the season. Like, we continue to run new models based on what we've seen over the course of the year.
Of course, because that's what you
have to do. The biggest question is when to actually start making those pivots, right? Like,
100%. So let's talk about the next guy. So okay. I brought up Rich Hill's early season struggles, and you laughed out loud, LOL'd at me, for even mentioning it. So what's up with Rich Hill right now? Because he's a guy who's showing up. He's considerably cheaper than any of the other top-tier guys. Excellent season last year, kind of a renaissance back to his early career when he was showing a lot of promise. But this year it's been a rough sledding so far. So what's up there?
This is a guy that's like impossible. This is the very difficult guy to project, right? Because he's been around for a long time and his role has shifted. But this year he's only pitched 8 innings. So I'm really not willing to. Well, he pitched 8 innings and he had a blister issues. Now, the blister issues are a
recurring. He also hasn't pitched 200 innings in the majors in his entire career.
Well, I told you, that's why I'm admitting that he's a difficult guy to project. That's why I led with the saying that this is one of the hardest kind of guys to project, right? It's like, guy who's been around, guy who's mostly been a specialist, has really struggled with control over his career, then last year between two teams, all of a sudden just turns into like an ace level-ish guy, 10.5 strikeouts per nine, less than three walks, 3.36 xFIP. Those numbers are really good. The K is bordering on excellent. This year, only eight innings. Again, like he had blister issues for part of it. Again, those blister issues are something that is a thing for him. Like, whatever way he pitches, he continues to get blisters. So, I'm not sure.
And he literally pitched as many innings in 2007 as he has since in the major leagues.
That's right. So, I guess my point is, this is one of those ones where you draw on who's the real Rich Hill. Is it the guy that's, you know, basically the 2015-2016 guy, which is 140 innings of really, really good pitcher? Is it the control issue guy that he was in, you know, that came out of the bullpen for a lot of his career? Or is it the guy that pitched eight innings this year and has stunk? I don't know. Here's where I would look at Vegas. Vegas believes that this is a Rich Hill who's a very good pitcher, right? He's a -153 money line right now. Giants, who don't K a ton, only 3.4 implied runs. That's a team that, you know, that's showing that they at least have confidence. Now, Darvish and Strasburg kind of exist in the same zone, which is why I'm also willing, like, not to totally change some of their projections this early in the season. But it sounds like you're pretty bearish on Hill. I'm fine with the price based on I want to believe that the last 140 innings of him, which have been very good, could just be what we can sort of expect going forward of him if he can stay on the mound. But you maybe sound like,
yeah, so you'll get four good innings out of him tonight. That doesn't sound so bad.
Well, that doesn't make any sense. Why would you get four good innings out of him?
Because he's only thrown four innings per start so far this season.
But that's not what I said. I said 100.
That's the joke I was making. Okay. That's what I'm
talking about. Well, anyway,
it was really funny, actually.
Are you not those 140 innings prior to the eight that this year that you seem stuck on? That was my joke. Do you see those as just smoke and mirrors?
Well, yeah, and then I laughed at your joke because that's what you do on a good podcast. Do I see last year's stats as smoke and mirrors? No, I don't. I mean, he was also good in 2015, albeit in a very short sample size. The issue with Hill is, like, it's a combination of him both being inconsistent and old. He's 37 years old, which maybe people don't realize because, again, he was a bullpen guy. So if you're picturing him as this big, exciting prospect type guy, he's definitely not that. The injury issues are always ever present with him. So he's kind of like people joke about this with Anthony Davis in the NBA. But now imagine if Anthony Davis were a pitcher and had leaves the game early for like 12 years because that's what Hill's been doing now. So I think that if, you know, if it were a night with a little bit less safety on the top end, we're bordering up on the amount of safety that I'm looking for out of my starting pitcher role. But if it were a night where there were a little bit less safety above him, at least as I perceive it, I might be a little bit more interested. But I'm certainly not going to force Hill anywhere. I think he's a very, very interesting big tournament prospect. I mean, I think people might be sleeping on him. You know, San Francisco, while they don't strike out a ton, they don't have a ton of pop, especially against left-handed pitchers, given that a lot of their strong bats, I mean, aside from Posey, come from the left side of the plate. So I think that, yeah, it's a guy worth considering, worth keeping on your radar, but I just don't see myself sitting in like the chat with our chatters tonight being like, no, guys, trust me, Rich Hill over all these other guys.
Well, where you can make the case for him is on DraftKings because he's so much cheaper than everybody else, right? So like Darvish, Strasburg, Keuchel, and Greinke are all 11,000 or over. Then you have Lackey, who we can talk about in a second. And then Rich Hill is at 8,700. I think there you can just use his savings and feel pretty good about it, right? I think that as a starting pitcher too, paired with one of those other expensive guys, that to me, it doesn't even feel all that risky, to be honest with you, just because the price is so cheap. So yeah. I think like getting that 2,500 or so, 2,300 or so discount on him there, that does make a lot of sense. And so if you want exposure to him, go play him on DraftKings and pair him with one of those other big arms. I don't think you need to jam him in on FanDuel to save necessarily, but on DraftKings starting pitcher too, I think he makes a lot of sense. Last guy we want to talk.
Yeah, could be. I would maybe take a look at Lackey, just depending on where that money line comes in, you know, how the weather plays out in Chicago there. He's the other guy I think you can make a similar case for, probably a little bit less upside, but maybe a little bit more consistent. But, you know, not an ideal spot to be against Cincinnati in Chicago, especially given
he's
the weather.
He's a big money line.
Keep an eye on it.
He's a big money line favorite right now, but we're still waiting on the over-under on him. Like, we have it projected at 8, and my guess is it probably sticks around there unless we get some crazy wins.
It could be even higher.
Yeah. If it comes in at 7.5, then he actually might jump. There's a good chance he jumps over Rich Hill. So, like, it's one of those things, like, just getting to know the system so well and all the inputs. Some of those things, that little half-run difference will make a difference for a guy like Lackey. Like, that could be the thing that takes Hill from being in right now 88% of the lineups to just Lackey being in 100% of them, because right now their projections are very, very close, simply just waiting on the money line. So the two expensive guys we didn't mention are here are Keuchel and Greinke. I mean, do you have any interest in pivoting to either of those two guys in the same price tier as guys like Darvish and Strasburg?
I actually really like Keuchel for cash game purposes. You know, he's one of the guys, we talked about a lot of these big money guys who we have a lot of question marks around right now. Keuchel's a guy who just is the same guy, perhaps even better than he was last season. Keuchel's kind of unexciting for a lot of people from a DFS perspective, just because he's not an electric K guy. Like, the sub 8 Ks per 9 don't inspire any sort of great confidence. But one thing Keuchel does better than basically any pitcher going tonight, and almost every pitcher in the majors, is just chew up innings. You know, he goes out there. It's been at least 7 innings in all but one start this season. The one start was against the Yankees, where he scored 55 fantasy points. He's got a quality start in all but one of his starts this season. And that was one where he just went 8 innings and they just left him out there too long against the Angels. So Keuchel provides you a certain level of safety and just a high floor and a low variance that you're not going to get might have almost any starting pitcher. And that's on the back of his insane ground ball rate. I was looking this up before the pod started today, but the 64% ground ball rate that Keuchel has right now, if that were his career rate, would be the highest in history among starting pitchers. So that's really, really, really high. His career number of 59.2%, I think that's the third highest ever among starting pitchers. I'm sorry, it's the second highest. Only Brandon Webb. Oh, no, Derek Lowe. So Brandon Webb and Derek Lowe are ahead of him. And then it's Dallas Keuchel, and that's it, since they've been tracking this data effectively since the early 80s. So, yeah, Keuchel, I think, is a much better pitcher just flat out than most people realize. He certainly struggled a little bit last season, taking a step in the wrong direction. Still just 29 years old. I think that last year could be chalked up as sort of an aberration. And I think if you just want a high floor option who's averaging 44 fantasy points a game this season, which is the highest on the slate among any player, you know, you're paying a little bit of a premium for him on Darvish, but he's also scored 7 more fantasy points per game than Darvish. So I don't know. At least a guy, I think a lot of people are going to consider not a perfect matchup with Miami, but a reasonable park. So, yeah, I think there's a lot more to like about Dallas Keuchel.
Yeah, the park's perfect for him, right? Like, for that profile, that's exactly what you want. You want to be able to mitigate your mistakes on fly balls, and then just, when you allow guys on, get into double plays. And that's actually why Keuchel's able to go so far into games, right? Like, quick pitches, like quick at-bats because of low pitch counts because of the ground ball, and then even getting out of innings quicker than most other people just because you turn the double play. You don't love the K's, so I'm with you there. But and I don't think, like, because the K's are so important, it's going to be hard for him at these prices. Like, his price has climbed because he eats so many innings, and then it's just not going to have the K upside. So I think that's the only reason the system comes in a little lower on him. But it's probably always going to struggle with a guy like him who's just uber consistent. And that's just the problem with DFS in general, is when you're uber consistent, you just get priced correctly.
Yeah, fair.
Before we get to some stacks today, hit us up with one of our many sponsors.
Well, I'll start with just one for now, and that's FantasyFactor.com. Fantasy Factor is a great place for DFS players to go who want to get into like a little bit of a smaller contest where there's less of those big sharks populating all of the lineups and more just casual to, you know, semi-casual players, we'll call them, who just want to put in an entry here or there, you know, $5 or $10, and just kind of see how the night goes. Fantasy Factor, perfectly slick software, very trustworthy. We know those guys, been doing business with them for almost a year now. And they also happen to offer free rolls every Friday for MLB, $100 free rolls. You can just go over there, get signed up, fantasyfactor.com, use promo code DFSR, and you get a $5 entry that you can just put to work for you right away. So check them out, tell them we sent you, and we'll see you over there.
Yeah, we have some interesting stacks today, mostly because there's a bunch of bad pitchers going. So there's some, right now, when we're running optimal lineups, is actually doing a pretty healthy mix of a bunch of different teams. That's usually the case when you have either a bunch of bad pitchers that are all equally bad, or things kind of just trend toward the middle. Right now, it's just picking out some of the higher batting order kind of guys against bad pitchers. That will change as the course of the day goes on and some lines shift around. But where can we start looking if we're expressly looking to stack one or two teams today?
Well, I think if you try to tap into some cheaper pitching, like say maybe actually JC Ramirez is a guy we didn't bring up during the pitcher section, but is actually a really interesting big upside cheap pitcher just based on how this year's gone and kind of how the money line is shaking out so far right now. But if you are able to get into some cheap pitching, the Cubs are going to probably have some kind of astronomical ownership in big tournaments just based on the matchup alone with Bronson Arroyo. Arroyo this season, just back to his old ones, which is to say, just being terrible. I don't need to get into all the details, but Arroyo hasn't been a major league quality pitcher in at least half a decade. That hasn't changed just yet. And actually, what I really like about a Cubs stack is I like that you can anchor it around a great value guy in Kyle Schwarber. Schwarber this season, obviously very, very hit or miss, and that's led to his price being down in the tank. But he still does have that same upside that he's always had, you know, and now that he's on 3,100 as opposed to 3,500, that frees up even more savings to go get the guys who maybe have been a little bit more consistent. So for me, I mean, depending on how the weather looks and what the line winds up being, I do think the Cubs in a stack anchored around Schwarber could be a really attractive way to go, just to try to get, you know, like I said, about as high an upside as you can possibly get from one team in one matchup.
Yeah, no, the whole Cubs lineup, the top of that lineup, Schwarber, Rizzo, Schwarber, Bryant, Rizzo, and then I guess if Zobrist were to play, but that lineup.
The guys who can hit home runs is who I'm interested in.
Right, so. That top four, top five, even Addison Russell at shortstop as you get down a little bit lower into the lineup for just because shortstop can be just difficult to fill on a night-to-night basis. Cubs are in a great spot. I simply don't know why Bronson Arroyo still has a major league gig, but he does. Good for him. Get paid. You know, never want to take money out of someone's pocket. But man, whew, Bronson Arroyo. Yeah, no, there's a couple other guys. So I was going to, the Rangers originally were going to face Eflin today, but now they switched it to Jared Eichhoff. I'm not sure actually how much that really matters for me. Eichhoff, he is a guy, I guess. He has some pedigree. He's really struggled from a control aspect this year. So his xFIP's up around somewhere creeping up toward the mid fours. The strikeouts are kind of there, right around 8 per 9. But like I said, the walks are up over 3.5 per 9. I think people keep waiting for him to sort of just turn it around and be the pitcher that he's supposed to be decent, right? He's not a bum hunter, but he struggled. Vegas still likes the Rangers right around 5 implied runs. They're a team that is impossible on a nightly basis to figure out like what their starting batting lineup is going to be. Like they switch it around all the time. So it's like Elvis Andrews, you're going to hit second or fourth or ninth or eighth or maybe not play, you know? Or Chu, you're going to hit ninth or maybe second. Maybe we'll move
you
into the
leadoff. Do you think don't want Elvis Andrews' parents to complain that he never gets enough playing time? Or
oh, that's why? Definitely what's happening. That's definitely what's happening. It's like, you know, they're like, Rogue Ned wants to hit second today. They're like, but he usually hits fifth. You know, I don't know. I can't, like, we try to do projected lineups for these teams because that's really the only way you can just get early accurate numbers for some of these teams, and you get a sense really early about which teams are pretty consistent with their lineups, i.e. you know, the Reds are pretty consistent, and there's some the Braves are really a pretty good one about this, and then you get like the Rangers or the Rays, you know, they just can't decide, they'll just switch guys around, doesn't matter platoon. Anyway, long story short, wait to see how that Ranger lineup comes in. Guys like the Shields, even in that reverse platoon, is probably fine in this case against Eichhoff. I like the implied total for them. I do like that they're still coming pretty cheap across the board. Luke Roy is a catcher that's going to show up a lot if you're going to kind of get away from Gary Sanchez, who's probably going to be chalk, at least in cash games. But I think Rangers as a whole, even with the switch to Eichhoff as pitching, I think I'm still kind of okay with that. So we got Cubs, Rangers, who else?
Well, I think another one that maybe is a little bit less on board right now, or a little bit less obvious, might be the Tigers. So the Tigers this season, you know, they've not been quite the same offense. You know, Cabrera's been struggling a little bit, but they have a really interesting spot here tonight against Wade Miley. So Wade Miley, you know, the ERA is low once again, but he's getting it done in a really, really weird way. So his Ks are up at 10.5. His career average, by the way, is just a flat 7. So, you know, maybe you think in his age 30 season he figured something out and he's going to strike out 10 guys per 9. I do not think that. But his walks are up to 5.6. Now, 5.6 is really, really high. And so what this leads me to believe is that he's kind of getting it done by just throwing it all over the place. And guys are swinging because they're not used to that from Wade Miley. So I think he's caught some people off guard so far this season. His strand rate's up around 88%. The xFIP is almost 1.3 higher than the ERA. And he's clearly just getting lucky. I mean, no one in the majors can sustain a 5.7 walk rate. Now, I don't think it'll normalize out that way. I suspect he'll drift down towards his career numbers. And if he does, that's just a pretty good spot for the Tigers. Interesting to note about the Tigers, too. Against a lefty, you have to think that J.D. Martinez is probably going to play again tonight. And J.D. Martinez, historical lefty killer. He's only played 3 games this season. One of those was against a lefty, and he hit 2 home runs in that game. So if he comes in and bats 6 or something, maybe you can get some stack up the middle with a decent group of lefty killers. You can go Cabrera, V-Mart, Justin Upton, JD Martinez. That's actually a pretty inspiring lineup, and you can get some relatively decent savings given that Martinez just 3,600 up in $3,500, and Cabrera's very affordably priced at $3,800, given his early season struggle. So I think if you want to be a buyer on the Tigers for either cash games or big tournaments, tonight is definitely a night, because I think we'll see all those guys' prices begin to rise after what should be a pretty positive spot for them tonight.
Yeah, Miguel Cabrera and Castellanos specifically are coming pretty high in the FanDuel lineups right now.
Yeah, Castellanos too. I didn't even think about him. I mean, Kinsler too. This lineup just up and down has right-handed bats that you can dream on.
Yeah, when you look at, in our system, we have what we basically break down points per dollar on a team value chart just to try to identify what are some of the just best value stacks you can get. Right now, I think they're second in the list right now. The Tigers are really high up there, actually pretty far above even teams like the Cubs. Now, the Cubs are just from a few more implied raw points, so it's not totally perfect. Same with the Rangers, but Detroit's right up there. Another team right up there is Arizona. They're going to face Tommy Malone. Tommy Malone, I mean, just the very definition of just a guy, right? Like, not bad enough to get sent down to the minors, not good enough to be a guy that you ever want pitching for your team, really. So Malone strikes me as a guy easy to target against. He's been actually kind of okay this year, only 26 innings, but 4.19 xFIP, a little down from his career numbers. He doesn't walk a ton of guys, but he also doesn't strike out really anybody at all, so you're not really worried about decreasing your expectation of making contact with him. He's probably been running a little bit hot with the home run to fly ball ratio. The Diamondbacks should, again, they're a team that can sometimes be tough to figure out what their lineup's going to be, but you got to think it's going to be something like Owens, Drury, Goldschmidt, and then probably switch up with Lamb and then maybe Yasmani Tomas. They might move Tomas up a little bit more, but they are a great platoon team, especially if you can get guys like Owings and Drury hitting 1-2 in the lineup. That's something you'll probably take all day long for cash games. So I really like the Diamondbacks. I could see them being a very popular cash game play, just because if you're going to get some cheap value on guys moving up in the order, that's exactly what we're looking for on a night like tonight. Great ballpark. Malone is not a guy that you need to run from. So I think the biggest thing that people are going to have trouble with is that, you know, we just listed off four or five teams pretty easily in terms of being able to just stack. And when that's the case, the decisions kind of are hard, because there's almost too many good plays to make.
Easy for us, buddy, because we're professionals. You got to realize, you know.
Oh, well, good point. Easy
people
for
at home, they're looking at it and they're like, ooh, who do I stack tonight? You know, so just because it's easy for you doesn't mean it's easy for everyone.
All right, so just a recap for today. Darvish, Strasburg, we'll deep dive into those guys over the course of the day, make sure we're good on some of the top-end pitching. A lot of good stacks to look at as well. A pretty good day overall in MLB. Keep an eye out for that Cubs line, see where that run total comes in. DFSR.com/MLB gets you a free 3 days to our projection system powered by Lineup Lab. That's optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. Free for 30 days, $29.95 a month after that. You're all good to go. Buddy, I'll talk to you again Thursday talking more baseball.
Can't wait, man. Adios.